Well, alas, dear listeners, I can't say that we have some amazing hook this time. The data shows it. When you do part two of an episode, you just don't get as many listens for whatever reason. But too bad. We have to talk about more veteran extension candidates. It must be done. We ran out of time last time. So, John, it is time to get started again. A reminder real quick that if you wanted a refresher on what the rules are on veteran extensions, we talked about that at the very beginning of last week's show. So what other veteran extension candidates interest you here?
Well, first of all, a little life hack. I think we should label this as part three, and then that way we get out of the thing where part two, you know, drives your numbers down.
Yeah, like kind of how Naked Gun 33 and a third was the best one. That is a
tremendous reference that will be lost on younger members of our audience, but I appreciate nonetheless.
Yeah, that is false, by the way. The original Naked Gun was by far the best of the trilogy. But yeah, maybe I will actually make that the title, just like part two and a half or something like that, and see if we can get some more listeners in that way. But yes, anyway, back to basketball here. What team interests you here? Because we kind of just go by team through some of the ones that we haven't talked about yet.
I'm trying to jog my own memory here. Did we talk about Chris Middleton?
Yeah, we did talk about the Bucks last week. We talked about the Warriors. Oh, I have the sheet in front of me here. I can start unless
I know who we have to talk about.
Yeah.
We got to lead the show with Dylan Brooks.
I thought you were going to say Mason Plumlee in Charlotte, but.
Who is technically extension eligible, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He also has half of his salary guaranteed for this year.
Yes. He's also waivers eligible. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what's Dylan Brooks' situation?
Yeah. He's making $11.4 million right now. So they could do the 20% raise on top of that. And then they could basically take it to 4 years, $61 million. I would think, now there's an angle to this too, though. Memphis could do a renegotiate and extend.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. And I guess the question is, number one, let's just try to figure out what, in an ideal world, Dylan Brooks is worth here. He had a very interesting year in that the on-off numbers were amazing. Some of that was aided by some shooting luck, to be sure, particularly from opponents missing three-pointers. Only played 32 games. I do think he fulfills an important role as a perimeter defender and irritant on this team as just a stick-to-him guy. He also had 29% usage and 52% true shooting. It's about 4 points below the league average. But this is a team also that, outside of Ja Morant, was somewhat devoid of shot creators, and he played a lot of his games when Ja Morant was out. And at least he doesn't turn it over because he shoots it before he actually is able to. Yeah, and he also like doesn't rebound at all, which part of that's because he is just stuck to some guy on the perimeter, but he's also not a great rebounder. They also ask him to run the floor a lot in transition. So, yeah, I mean, what is that player worth? You know, it certainly had some extremely frustrating moments in the playoffs. He also had some moments that were pretty good. He had a good playoffs last year. He was awful, mostly in the Minnesota series. He's kind of a hothead as well. So this will be his age 27 season coming up.
Yeah, so I would say he's definitely worth more than the mid-level exception, I would say. Are you paying him as the third or fourth best player on your team? Yeah, probably not. Like on a real like championship level team, he's probably fifth starter or top wing, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, so I guess the question is, can he actually work more into that 3-and-D type of role where he's going to be, I mean, ideally in the low 20s in usage at most? You know, he doesn't get to the rim very well and finish. He doesn't get to the foul line. His three-point shooting is okay. Actually took a decline this last year. So if he is just that 3-and-D type of guy, and I do think his defense is very solid, maybe not absolutely elite, but yeah, very solid, particularly within the scheme where they have all this athleticism behind him. Yeah, you know, I'd be thinking about him not in the $20 million range, but maybe in the $15-16 million range.
That feels about right. That's kind of where I was getting to, which I think, like, if he becomes a free agent next year, I do think somebody would give him an offer in that range. Yeah. So for Memphis, I mean, I'm trying to think how.
Well, so I don't think they can renegotiate and extend him. Because this deal was only 3 years, right? It was 3 for $36 million.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I think they would have needed to be a four-year contract.
They can extend, but they cannot renegotiate and extend.
Yeah. So here's what he's eligible for. It would be a four-year, $61 million deal. So that's basically, I think that would probably be close to fair for him. Might lead to him being a little bit underpaid. But also, if he shoots 31% from three again this year, then he's really not going to have that much of a market at all. I think he's got some risk here. There's some risk that guys like DeAnthony Melton and, Desmond Bane obviously has surpassed him in their plans already. He's really the starting three, or just that Zaire Williams could surpass him. So I think there's some risk here as well.
I would say the risk of Melton passing him and Taylor Jenkins' plans seem fairly limited at the moment, but regardless of what the numbers might say. I think from Zaire Williams, maybe there is more risk there, or whoever else they draft this year or whatever.
Go ahead.
I would think about signing that if I were Brooks, if it was like, if I got like a player option or maybe some other goodies in it, I would think about it. I do think if he becomes a free agent next year, somebody will pay him in the high teens. So I'd probably be more inclined if I was representing him to go ahead and try to have a good year. And I mean, if he ends up, being a starter or a key player on a team that goes to the conference finals or finals, which is very possible, right? Then I think he's going to get a premium from that too. So I could see how I think there's more financial upside than downside for him, I guess, this coming year. I don't know. Do you just
agree? Yeah, I mean, he only played 32 games, though, right? And let's say they could also lose in the first round, and he could also shoot them out of it again and look terrible, which he did for large swaths of this playoffs. I could see him being down in that mid-level exception range. I don't see him getting over $20 million a year.
Okay.
From my standpoint, I would advise him to take that, particularly because I think he wants to be in Memphis. And yeah, if you could get a player option or something, that would be nice. But I think there is some downside for him here, and it's not enough of an upside that I think you should roll the dice. But I am generally more conservative on these sorts of things that, and he hasn't made that much money in his career. He could also just suffer an injury or something like that and just have a bad year, or you never know, right? I think that this is close enough to his open market value that the risk reduction aspect would want me to take it. Also on the Grizz, DeAnthony Melton, they could in theory extend him. He's got 2 years left at $8 million per, so he could get that Josh Richardson 4 years in the high $50 million range. We don't know exactly how much that will be yet. That seems like another one where, he might have higher aspirations. I would probably offer that and take it if I were him, just because he's so young. But it just, these ones with 2 years left on these sorts of deals usually just don't seem to get done.
You're just better off waiting most of the time, I think.
If you're the Grizz, you mean?
Yeah, especially, because they have so much flexibility right now, and they, I'm not even sure if they're willing to be committed to him at this point, even though he's been good for them. And I think there are a lot of arguments that they haven't used him enough the last 2 years. But if they aren't that interested in playing him now, why are you going to go out 4 or 5 years with him? So he's going to sign that extension with his next team when because I think Melton ends up being a trade piece for Memphis.
Yeah, well, maybe he would be a better trade piece if they extended it, would be a thought.
They'd be they'd be blocked from using him as a trade piece, though, for a while, right?
Well, 6 months.
Yeah.
Would be it. But yeah, I guess the question becomes, is he a starting shooting guard or not, or is he a third guard? And that's where maybe things, and they don't necessarily have to go with that full amount either. And maybe he wants to try to go somewhere and start. I do think some analytically focused organization could focus in on him, Memphis did in the first place. They could also, in theory, extend Steven Adams, who makes $18 million this year.
I think that actually is possibly in play.
Yeah.
Because the salaries at the right price point were like, oh, you go out another year or two and it's fine. Like they could do sort of what the Pelicans did with Valanciunas after he was traded there.
Yeah. Now, all of these guys extending them, the elephant in the room is you got Ja Morant as coming in with a probably supermax next year. And then you also have to extend Bane at some point as well. And then you're going to get pretty expensive. And you just wonder how much Robert Pirro wants to pay. And then, you know, they also might use cap space to bring someone in this year, potentially. And just some other guys that they might bring in with mid-level contracts or something like that. And so it does get expensive pretty quickly there.
Yeah, depending on what, yeah, and they got to figure out with Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones too, if they're paying them or keeping them or sign a trade or whatever. I mean, the books are actually really clean on paper in the out years for Memphis right now, but it's going to fill up quickly when you go out 2 years and you have Morant on a max and Bane on whatever he's going to get, which is going to start with a two at least, right? So then deciding who they pay around that is becomes a bit more vexing decision. I still think I think the luxury tax is probably still out of play for a little ways here. And I think it's actually not as big a concern. Like when I was there, the luxury tax was a huge concern. Since then, Robert Pera's net worth has skyrocketed. So I actually think it is probably much less of a concern for Memphis now.
Let's turn here now to the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
This is an interesting one. Al Horford, they already said they're going to fully guarantee, even if they don't win the championship, his $26.5 million for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he could extend and even extend at a rate that where he might be tradable. Seems like that's one where he almost wants to be there enough. It's like, why bother extending him? Let's see what happens. Like, it would have to be a really team-friendly discount, and he's going to be 36, I think, next year. So probably don't end up going there. You know, maybe if they do come back and win it in game seven, there's a euphoric enough feeling that they bring him back for, like, you know, one more year at $17 million or something like that. But the more interesting one is Jaylen Brown, and he is particularly because I think he'll get some more pub now with the vet that they've gotten to the finals. He could get eligible for a supermax if he makes all NBA. I thought he actually should have made all NBA this year over Siakam. Just for some reason, you're not allowed to discuss Jaylen Brown in all NBA conversations, apparently. But, and he could also just take a step forward next year. But if they wanted to give him a 3-year extension for $119 million, they could do that. He's got 2 years left right now.
Yeah. If I'm Jaylen Brown, I feel pretty good about getting a giant bag in 2024. So I might hold out for that.
Yeah, he doesn't have much of an injury history as well. I certainly would offer that as the Celtics.
Yes, clearly.
And also, he's never been a free agent before. Like, yes, he is happy in Boston right now with how things have gone. And his partnership with Tatum is really good. But I think he probably wouldn't take that, I would say. And just for context, his starting salary in the first season, that would be $37 million. However, the max that he would be eligible for, even if he doesn't hit the supermax criteria, would be $39 million. So he'd be about $2 million short of the max to start. And then if he did hit supermax, he could start it at $46
million. Yes. So the other thing to do, yeah, the other reason for Jaylen Brown to turn it down now is because if he makes all NBA in either of the next two seasons, he puts himself in a much better position, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. And then also only going out 3 years, you might want to have a 4-year deal or even 5 years by getting to free agency or getting the supermax potentially.
Yeah, so I think he's young enough that I would play this out if I was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Cleveland. This is an interesting one, particularly because they already traded for this guy. Caris LeVert could get a 4-year, $101 million extension.
I will laugh and cackle if they end up doing that. I just don't think he's worth anywhere near that kind of money. And I mean, the sunk cost of what they gave up for him, like, you just can't be worried about that. And he showed, right? Like, he showed what he is for good and bad in those games for him, because they were playing big games with him after the trade happened. So I do think Cleveland has a little better idea of what they're getting for him. Now, if you could extend him at like 15 or something, maybe that's a different story. But to just you know, capitulate and just pay the guy just because he's a sort of okay wing, like, man, that I would have a really hard time with that.
Yeah, I noted this when Danny and I were talking about the Cavs last week, how disappointing it is to have Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen making a combined $40 million this year, and to actually have to be worried about the tax.
Yeah, not great. Well, the J.R. Smith's $1.45 million came off the books this year, so they got that going for him.
Yeah, really. So that's, to me, I think, and part of this depends on what happens with Sexton. Yes, I don't think LeVert is worth extending even at exactly his current salary, particularly because they could have $32 million in cap space next year. Now, between LeVert and Colin Sexton, like, that probably just ends up getting vaporized anyway. Maybe that's just not that realistic. But, you know, I don't think he's even worth the $19 million now. But then again, I didn't think he was worth trading first and second round picks for, like, a good second, too. It's number 31 this year.
Yeah.
For LeVert. So I think, and this is probably one of those deals where you don't trade for him unless you got a pretty good idea of what the extension is going to be. That does happen, by the way. They do have those discussions. From what I understand,
they do.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean we could have been doing this the whole time?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if you had to, what would you actually feel comfortable with as an extension for him?
Like, I feel like in the 15 range where you're going, you're saying, okay, we're giving you more than the mid-level, but it's not a number that's really going to screw us up. It's a number that's still tradable. Like, I feel pretty good about that. Going over 20 for him, I feel like, is just madness.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe I would feel okay with 2 years, $50 million. Like, he's got a lot of injury issues.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 49% from two. I mean, the big problem is that he doesn't really shoot, right? Like, he's averaged it for,
yeah,
in his Cavs tenure, he averaged, let me scroll down here because he didn't play that many minutes for them. He averaged 4.3 3-point attempts for 36 minutes. Like, that's not, particularly for a team that's playing two bigs and shooting 31%. Like, that's not enough. Like, the positional average at shooting guard is 7 3-point attempts for 36 minutes. They need somebody who's actually going to shoot the ball. Oh, and somebody who's actually going to defend. Like, he,
and somebody who's actually going to, yeah, he's got the dribbling part, but he's a ball stopper too. So even that doesn't always work out. I mean, where he helped them functionally is that they had some second units that were just a cry for help, and his ability to just create some kind of shot did have some value in, yeah, in that context. But I think that's the limit of his powers. Like, he's a sixth man to me all the way.
Right, yeah. And that, again, like, Jordan Clarkson to me is probably better than him. I would say they're probably about equal defensively, even though LeVert has better physical tools. But Clarkson, he'll at least bomb some threes, get out in transition. You know, I think that LeVert's maybe, yeah, a little bit better of a passer. But, yeah, I don't think that he should be making in the high teens. And I also just, I mean, this next year is his age 28 season. Like, I don't want to go out that much longer, yeah, but I mean, I fear that that's just, they made a bet on him and they're just going to double down and it's going to be ugly.
Well, especially if they go out 4 years and they're paying him until like 31 or 32. Like, oh boy.
So this is one that's probably not going to happen. Well, actually, let's finish up in the Cavs. There are a couple more. They've got Dean Wade, who's on a minimum contract. I actually would try to potentially extend him, you know, kind of Dorian Finney-Smith style, like the first time around, you know, something in the $4 or $5 million per year. I actually like what Dean Wade has given them. Like, he, you know, in the J.B. Bickerstaff world where he's a three, he's actually functioned pretty well defensively and he can shoot it. So I think he's just a good player that they should use their restricted rights and try to retain at a cheap price. Jetty Osmond, probably too early for him. He's got 2 years left. And Kevin Love, it seems like it's all kumbaya with Kevin Love now. He makes 28 this year. This is a team that's been very aggressive in extending him before. So you could see him maybe being extended for a year or two.
Yeah, the only thing with
low number.
Yeah, the only thing is he's also their best trade chip because of the large expiring contract. So you take, yeah, your...
Well, so you would extend him at a number where he could still be traded,
but,
as well. Like, you're not giving him a raise and you wouldn't go longer than 2 years.
No, I'm just talking about the...
You could still just do it, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to time it right where... you would do it after the July frenzy, but you'd have to do it early enough still that you can do stuff with him as you get close to the trade deadline.
Yeah. And I mean, this is, I would predict that that doesn't get done, but it does seem like there's this new renewed feeling of like, oh, he's like Mr. Cav now. He really bought into this new culture they have and all that. So maybe, but yeah, I think he's more tradable just in the sense that they, you know, as an expiring contract, and also to just get in, you know, if they wanted to get really aggressive with their future first, which I wouldn't recommend, as I didn't recommend it in the LeVert situation, they could attach those to him and get a significant salary back who's supposed to be part of their core going forward.
Would you do two times 12 for Love?
Yeah, it seems about right. I think that seems about right to me. But I you know, I think he also may just want to actually go to more of a winning situation. The problem is that he can't really be in a winning situation due to his defensive limitations. You know, he'd be averaging 12 minutes a game off the bench on a good team in the playoffs, but maybe he wouldn't see it that way.
He'd be Kevin Bielitsa.
Well, Bielitsa is like an order of magnitude better than him on defense, actually.
Bielitsa holding up in switches is one of the underrated stories of this finals. I had no expectation of that happening.
So speaking of having traded for someone and potentially doubling down, Nikola Vucevic, obviously he wouldn't get anywhere near the 4 years, $118 million that he's eligible for. It seems like Chicago is now really trying to trade him for another center, which is hilarious.
Yes.
And, you know, to attach other assets to him going forward, but they're out picks going forward as well here, which makes things difficult.
You
know, we'll maybe talk about him as a figure for this offseason when we get to that, but doesn't seem like an extension is in the offing there.
No, I mean, one thing they should look at is offering him to Orlando for Franz Wagner and Wendell Carter.
Maybe they could get their 2023 pick back too.
Well, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, so next year is Vooch's age 32 season, and yeah, it's it seems like they are rightfully dissatisfied with that. And the disappointing thing is the Milwaukee Bucks and the way they play defense is the exact type of defense that he should have been able to kill, and they still, he just couldn't do it. Like, he just couldn't hit shots.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So let's see, who else is out there? One of my favorites. I clearly I want to hear what this is, because you legitimately mean one of my favorites. Sure.
Dwight Powell is extension eligible, Nate.
Yeah, he makes $11 million. I think maybe they will finally have it so that he that he's not just the apple of their eye anymore, particularly with the amount of tax that they're going to pay. Maybe they even will move on from him and get more of a traditional center. He just hasn't been the threat that he was as a role man before the Achilles issue, and he's still solid in that area, but when you can't play a guy more than 10 minutes a game in the playoffs, I think there's an understanding when you have this type of roster that probably need to move on from him at this point.
Yeah.
And he as an expiring contract, he's maybe their best option as salary that they could move for a player, because all their other salary is attached to guys whose salaries go out a lot further and contracts are a lot uglier.
Yeah. I mean, their best means of achieving a trade are something along the lines of Dwight Powell, Sterling Brown, and a future first for some player that they actually want.
Now, the more interesting one to me is Maxi Kleba. He's actually non-guaranteed for next year. Surely they'll pick that up at $9 million. So he would be eligible for that Josh Richardson. Let's see. Maxi Kleba is going into his age 31 season. I do think he's held up pretty well athletically, but there is a possibility of that slipping. Always been one of my favorites in the league, one of the most underrated players. But, you know, to lock him up for his age 32 season and beyond, this seems like one where maybe it could be kind of the Joe Ingles type of extension of a year or two. They could bump him up to a starting salary in the low teens, you know, about 12, 13 million or so. So maybe like a 2-year extension for 26 million. That would make some sense.
That is the sweet spot to me. That is the one that I think that Kleba would have to at least look at, and that makes sense for the Mavericks. Yeah, I like that.
And Trey Burke will not be getting an extension.
He won't.
So this one I think is pretty interesting as well. And it's gone into some relief now with the draft and where Houston landed. They're probably, it's looking like it's going to be Paolo Banchero. It's going to be one of those three guys, but probably Paolo, it seems like, is the one who's going to be available for them at three. I think I'm starting to do my draft stuff now. I think you have to take him. Mm-hmm. And the other guy they'd be thinking of maybe would be Jaden Ivey, who I think is a terrible fit with Jalen Green. And, you know, if it were Keegan Murray, he's also creates this log jam in the front court as well. So would surely you think will be on the trade block. However, if they did want to extend him, they could go out 4 years, $77 million.
I think Christian Wood is more likely to be extended by his next team. I do think there's a decent chance he moves this offseason and then his new team maybe works on an extension with him. Presumably that new team is a team that actually likes him and so would be amenable to extending him. I mean, Christian Wood, you sort of know what you're getting, right? Like he's a really good dynamic offensive player as a big. And just defensively, there's just a lot of times where he's just not there. Now, as you're like, can that be the third big on a good team? And what is that worth? Like, is he a better player than Bobby Portis?
Yeah, I think so. Now, it's so interesting because he's never been on a real team defensively. Like, he's had moments, right? When they beat Memphis at home this year, he was causing all kinds of problems for Ja Morant at the rim. And he also is actually pretty good as a switch guy. He is just a piece of overcooked spaghetti defending in the post. I mean, just what some of these post players have done to him, just is unprintable. And obviously, you know, as a conventional pick and roll defender, he's really struggled as well. And, you know, hasn't really gotten all that much stronger, it seems like. You know, certainly questions about his approach have dogged him for a while. He had an issue where he got suspended even this year. I think it was for not wanting to go into a game in the second half. To me, I don't, like, he's put up numbers. I don't see how he's the guy who's getting in the mid-teens when these other starting centers who do more of what you actually need a center to do are in the low teens. So to me, he's gonna, all right, scored 20 points a game. I was pretty efficient. You know, he is a dynamic offensive player. It's just a question to me of whether he can hold up defensively. If he could play at an average starting center level defensively, then okay, you got something. Then to me, you're in the high teens. But it just, that seems unlikely to me. And I just, particularly given the questions about it, his approach, I'm not sure if a good team is like, oh yeah, we really want to trade for this guy. And moreover, we want to extend him. To me, I think if Houston could get even, you know, any type of first rounder for him, I would probably just make that trade.
I think they would probably go ahead and do that at this point. Can he be a starting four backup five?
He certainly failed doing that next to Daniel Tice. I think that was more of a Tice issue.
Yeah.
The Wood Şengün minutes haven't been amazing, you know, but Şengün isn't great as a defender either at this point in time. I think that's a possibility. Yeah, I think as a shooter, he's like pretty good. He can get hot sometimes. You know, is he like that reliable? Does he really want to do that? You know, you also just run into the same kind of problems that John Collins has in Atlanta. And, you know, Wood's not as good offensively to me as John Collins, but it would kind of maybe look like that, where he's best as a role man and a pop man. He's obviously best offensively at center, and you just can't play him there defensively. So it's a problem.
You know what's crazy about Christian Wood? He's like never played for a real team.
Right, that's what I was saying.
Like, even, even going back to his UNLV team was kind of like that. You know, they were like an average team in the Mountain West. The G League team where he put up the great stats was like the worst team in the league and like had all kinds of problems. It was Milwaukee's G League team. What do they call it? The Wisconsin. And he was on the tanking Sixers, right?
The Wisconsin Herd, John.
Yes. Yes, of Oshkosh.
Apparently,
yes.
That was not something that you heard when you were told it.
Oh, I have to go. So he was on the tanking Sixers. He was on the Pistons when they weren't trying to win. And then he's been with Houston the last 2 years. Like, he's never played basketball that mattered. And I'm just wondering what happens when he's put in that situation. It's an unknown. For good and bad. Maybe he's like, oh cool, I'll actually give a shit now. I mean, maybe that's what happens. But it's I think it's a big unknown with him.
Yeah, and I think maybe there'll be a little bit of a fad of this type of stuff, like talented guys who've only been in losing situations, like with the rehabilitation of Andrew Wiggins, that teams are going to be fired up for that.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins at least played on an awesome college team.
No, I suppose that's true, though they did lose in the, I think, in the second round. New Orleans. C.J. McCollum has 2 years left, makes $35 million in the last year of that. Don't think that New Orleans wants to go there, although he probably would.
Certainly not at that price. I mean, he'd have to take a major discount to extend his deal.
Yeah. Larry Nance, making $9.7 million in the last year of his deal this year. Like his fit, obviously, next to Zion. This is one where I think it probably goes into the season. You want to see how it's all working in that front court, whether he's able to stay healthy. Got healthy off that knee surgery very fast last year, which I thought was never going to happen, but he did, and contributed in their playoff run. But that's one where I think bringing a three-year deal continuing for similar money wouldn't be totally out of the question. He is kind of older than you think, though.
Yeah, I don't really trust him to stay healthy, and he's like, even playing as like a small ball backup five, like I thought that got exposed a little bit in the Phoenix series where there's just not any shooting from him. So I'd be inclined to either play this out, or I don't know, maybe you could go a year or two. He's also, so there are two things that kind of overlap with this. One, what is Jackson Hayes going to be? Because he's going to be up for an extension after this coming season too, or actually before the season even starts. He's extension eligible right now on a rookie extension. I don't think you pay both Jackson Hayes and Larry Nance, given that you already have Valanciunas and Zion. So if that's the case, which one do you prefer, I think, is the discussion to have.
Are you asking me?
I'm saying the Pelicans front office has, you know, months. I know you would prefer Nance, but the other thing is, okay, in 2025, you know, is Nance still going to be upright? Is Hayes going to continue improving? Like, there are still questions that don't have definitive answers, I think. So I think he's a really tough case. I would probably be more inclined to play this out, especially the way the center market has been the last few years. Like, I don't think you're going to get blown out of the water by someone else coming over the top of you with like a $20 million deal for Larry Nance, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And that's what I'm saying. There's no rush. They could get into the regular season. You know, this will be his age 30 season. So, but I do think that like his fit with Zion could be pretty good. I mean, I liked the theory behind that acquisition. And yeah, I do agree, like his shooting. Now, let's keep in mind where he is now. He's in New Orleans. He's with Fred Vinson. So maybe Fred can work some of his magic on him, and then he really can be more of a stretch five, and then he becomes a lot more valuable. I do agree that his shooting was disappointing, and he's lost athleticism, but he also hits the offensive glass really hard. And, you know, I was a little bit disappointed that he couldn't hold up in switches at all against Chris Paul. But, you know, Chris was playing at a pretty high level at that point, which would change pretty shortly. So yeah, I think you go into the season and then maybe you make an offer, you know, like a 3-year, $30 million extension with the last year non-guaranteed, if things are going well. That's kind of where I see it at.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do that in season. Like, I just don't trust him to stay healthy through that lengthy an extension. And I think he's in the free agent market, he's going to be more like a 1 or 2 year guy.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. So a couple other ones here. Orlando, Terrence Ross, don't think that's going to happen.
Nah.
Markel Fultz, that's maybe one that could happen during the season. Let's see how he looks in his first full year back from the ACL. Last year, you know, with Jonathan Isaac not playing at all and Fultz coming back, I thought he actually looked pretty good other than the jump shot.
Yes.
But Fultz also does have 2 years left still as well. I should actually have that in my notes. And the last year is a non-guarantee. So that's probably, there's no way that one's going to happen. And I'm sorry for wasting everyone's time with that. Utah, don't really see anything there. You know, Boyan is in the last year of his deal, but I think he's old enough and there's enough change there. He may not even be on the team by the time it's even they're thinking about extensions.
He's one where the extension could come from his next team.
Right. Yeah. But of course you do have to wait 6 months to go longer than 2 years out and greater than 105% raises. But maybe that he's old enough where that actually would be something that he might be interested in taking. You know, Royce O'Neal's got 2 2 years left as well. Last year's non-guarantee, and he's also kind of fallen off quite a bit. Jordan Clarkson has 1 year left, but a player option still after that. Probably don't see that one happening necessarily either.
That actually is a little interesting because he's got that player option hanging out there. So he could jet after this coming season if they don't do something there.
It just seems like everything is so in flux in Utah right now.
That absolutely, that is the biggest problem. It's just there's too many moving parts right now. I mean, the thing with Clarkson is you could actually do an extension with him after this coming season, even before the next free agency starts, or in season. So you have some options with him where you can still wait. And I think Utah needs to figure out the big pieces before they get into the smaller pieces. So what's going to happen with Rudy Gobert? It does seem like the smoke signals are definitely getting stronger that something is going to happen there. So that's the biggest piece. And then they got to see what their team looks like after that.
The Washington Wizards. Some interesting ones on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, if they start off, 9-6 this year, they may be really inspired to extend some of these guys.
Throw themselves a parade. Yeah. So Kyle Kuzma is really, really interesting to me because he has the player option coming this summer. He's very much an eye of the beholder guy. Like, there were times when he looked like he was their best player, and there were other times when, let's just say, he didn't. And the advanced stats have never been as complimentary to him as kind of the how he's looked on the floor. But he's in his mid-20s. He makes $13 million a year. Like, what would you do there?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think he might want to just play it out into that player option. And I think, because the most you could give him would be, he does have the player option. But I think the most you could give him would be, in the 4 year $70 million range if he does decline that player option. And I think he would probably want to take that. This would be starting in his age 28. Season. I do think that his much ballyhooed, he had some big scoring games. He at least rediscovered that usage a little bit. He went from 20 to 24 in terms of usage last year, but they also had some times where they're really devastated with injuries and he had to just be the guy. It seems like he's kind of just the same guy he's always been. He's just gotten better defensively over the years. Just a solid player, can hit threes, but he's not like unbelievably threatening there. He's always been right about like 54% true shooting for his entire career, basically. Can create some offense. A poor man's Tobias Harris is kind of what he's at this point. So, I think it really in the $15 million range would be the most that you'd want to go for him. Like, he is a guy who can switch some and can shoot a little bit. Like, he's versatile, even if he's not elite at really any area.
Yeah, and that's what makes him so interesting because, like, in the theory of him has always been better than the reality, at least if you look at sort of on-court impact. But he has this ability to do a lot of things and fit a lot of different lineups, and I do think that's going to make him a really tempting guy in free agency, especially if he has the glories of points per game on his side, which he may very well have this season in Washington. I mean, I think he's going to be an unquestioned starter all year. He's going to get minutes and shots, so he's going to be in really good position. So for all those reasons, I do think he would probably turn down an extension right now.
Yeah, and also Washington has Avdija and Hachimura behind him who are yet more combo forwards. So do they believe in those guys? Or, do you just want to keep a good player on the team? That's really interesting. Like, is Bradley Beal, I guess, is still going to be there. KCP is another guy who could potentially extend as much as 4 years, $75 million. Not going to get that. But I think he's making 14 this year. I think, another couple of years around that range would be pretty good for him. You're not a believer in him?
I'm not a believer. I think
39% from three last year, John.
Yeah. How many threes did he take? Like four?
6.3 per 36 minutes. So like a one below the positional average.
Yeah. He, for a 3-and-D guy, he doesn't take that many threes. And the D kind of comes and goes a little bit. I've been wondering if they would pick up this guarantee. He's guaranteed for $4.8 million out of 14. Now, it does seem like with their position relative to the tax, it doesn't really hurt them to pick it up. I'm just worried that they're going to have enough money left over to pay friend of the show, Howell Neto.
They need Howell Neto.
They do.
He's the best point guard on the roster
They actually kind of do, right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think this roster is going to look different. Tommy Shepard has been aggressive. They desperately need a point guard. You know, maybe KCP is involved in that. Another guy who's extension eligible, John, is Kristaps Porzingis. And I could even see if he starts off the year pretty well. Like, he played well quietly in Washington when they
He was really good at the end of last season. Yeah, shockingly good.
Yeah. So this is one where I don't think you do it this offseason, but if things start off pretty well, he stays healthy and
they start the year
back and he looks good.
When they start the year 9-6, that's when they jump in and do the extension for Porzingis.
Yeah, so he does have a player option for 36 in 23-24 that he, in theory, could opt out of. Or if they wanted to extend on top of that, they would have to do it during this summer, but they wouldn't have to do it that way. He could just opt out and they could go 4 years on top of that if they wanted to. I mean, that seems a little reckless for a guy with his injury history.
Yeah, that four-year extension for him is madness, but I could see that
once they get Beal on this $50 million a year contract, hey, why not throw another 35 year Porzingis too? Really lock in on the ninth seed goal every year.
Yeah, you could go full MLE with early bird rights on Anthony Gill too while you're at it.
All right, let's see here. Who else have we not gotten to yet? Oh, the Denver Nuggets. Got to talk about them. Nikola Jokic, the Supermax, is going to happen.
Yeah.
Apparently.
The
only one other one left is Monte Morris. You know, Jake Fisher reported that there have been some discussions about trading him, and you certainly had some skepticism about Denver's tax payments, and it seems like that is true. Now, Monte Morris, maybe those discussions were happening before they were able to get off of Jamichael Green in that trade, that we still don't know the protections on the picks and which second rounders they are somehow, which makes me feel like it's probably pretty unfavorable to Denver if we don't know what they are yet.
Well, the other reason that hasn't leaked is because I don't think the trade has happened yet, because Jamichael Green has to opt into his 8.2 million first. So because once a trade happens, every other team in the league will see the trade memo or whatever on the league site, and so that's how it will surely leak. But that the trade hasn't gone through yet, and because the teams haven't sent press releases either, so you know that. So the interesting thing with Monte Morris is that Bones Highland, you know, they drafted him, and I think with Jamal Murray back, you say, okay, we'll have Murray and Highland. Do we need a third small guard as a rotation player? And if not, is it worth paying that player $9.5 million and being in the tax? Like, I think trading Monte Morris to get themselves out of the tax is going to be the move here. And it's just a question of what is he worth and what can they get back? And then any extension, I think, again, we get into this again, would either happen with his new team or more likely, I think, would just happen a year from now. He's still got 2 years left on his deal.
Trading Monte Morris would be absolutely absurd unless they have some other backup point guard option. But, you know, they're talking about like Vasilij Micic or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't think the odds are Vasilij Micic is not going to be as good as Monte Morris. Like, you get Jamal Murray coming off a torn ACL. Like, he's going to need to miss games. He also plays together with Monte Morris on their second unit. Bones Highland can't defend anybody. He's not even really a point guard. Like, you can't go into a season trying to win a championship and get rid of one of the best backup point guards in the league. I mean, unless they could come up with some other way to replace him, but for cheaper, but then you got to kind of give up more assets to do that. They already are traded yet another first round pick in 27. Like, can't do that. If you're a real team, you're actually trying to win. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could turn him into a real wing who makes less money, I mean, that would be the win to do for that.
What asset are they attaching to Monte Morris to get cheaper and better? I don't really understand what's out there for that. So I would be surprised if they traded him at this point. Again, I think that they're like, you know, supposedly they are at least willing to be kind of in the tax. But if they get out of the tax completely with this team, I'm going to be apoplectic.
Yeah. Well, they're just a few million away now, so stay tuned. I think it's either Morris or Will Barton, right? Like, those are the two guys.
All right, so this is the last one. Actually, no, there's a couple more we have to get to. So I guess this is going to be all veteran extensions, episode 2.5. Brooklyn. Kyrie, I mean, technically could still do an extension. Seems like he's probably going to just become a free agent. If he opts in, he could get $197 million. Seems like it's more maybe heading in the 3-year type of range, but there has been reporting reporting that he's going to be back, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Like the Nets and Irving just need each other.
Yeah.
Like there's no other option for either of them, and so those are always some of the more interesting free agency negotiations.
I
could leave. Oh yeah, where are you gonna go?
Yeah,
well, if I go, what are you gonna do?
exactly.
Joe Harris is eligible. Don't see that one happening. Seth Curry is an interesting one, though.
Yeah, Joe Harris with the concerns about his ankle, I think that can't happen until they see him back on the floor and see what he can do. Curry is interesting. Like,
also had off-season ankle surgery, by the way.
If you already have Kyrie, is it your best bet to go forward with Curry with him? But, I mean, I can make the counter-argument. Even on extension, Curry's going to be tradable. So you could argue, like, what could you do on Curry? You could go out, like, maybe 2 years? I mean, he's 30, right?
Is that Seth Curry actually just completed his age 31 season. So 32. So you're looking at your 33 and 34 season now. He'll be able to hit shots until he's 97. I
think
something in along the lines of about what he's making now for a couple of years wouldn't be crazy. That's another one where maybe you just go into the season with it, and also you do an extension where he could just still be traded anyway. Maybe that's what it would be. I don't see him getting above 10 million a year. Like, he's really a third guard, although he's been pretty solid, obviously, in that role.
I mean, he was good for Philadelphia, I'll say that. But I do think, like, the Boston series especially, like, you saw, you know, when you get to the higher levels, he gets exposed a little more because he's not really a lead playmaker and he's a little vulnerable defensively. So you're really riding on the fact that he's going to give you enough shot making to offset that.
But what do you think Patty Mills does with his player option for 6.2?
You know, I think his best move is to opt out and re-sign another 1+1, because I just think the Nets don't have anywhere else to go with their money other than re-signing him.
I mean, but like, if they have Curry, and also maybe Dragic would be back as well. I guess Curry and him, I don't know. I think the Nets just got to get better at forward. Like, there is going to be somewhat of a zero-sum game here for them. It does seem like also they're... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
The Dragic thing last year to me was just weird. Like, they just didn't need him, and they're just playing all these small guards. Like, they need wings. Yeah. And so I still think if I'm Brooklyn, like, I know I can make a trade with Mills' contract or Curry's, so I might go ahead, even though it's suboptimal to have Irving and Curry and Mills, that I just don't have other options with my money. I'm limited to my tax MLE outside of these guys and minimums where I bring in, you know, 50-year-old big guys that are finished. And so I just don't see another option for them.
Maybe not. He'll help them in the regular season for sure, but he can't play in the playoffs next Kyrie. I mean, just some of the against Boston or against Philly, these teams against Miami, like these teams that they're going to have to play in the playoffs, like he's just going to barely play like he did this year. And he's a year older too.
But can he play next to Ben Simmons though?
Yeah, but I still like Kyrie's going to be out there. You know, I mean, you just can't have two small guards like that in most of these matchups. Like, it's just not going to work for large swaths of the game. And again, they already have Curry. So my question is, like, what else would his market be? Would people be interested in him at around that level elsewhere?
I do think he'd have
taxpayer MLE offers.
I do think he'd have interest at that level.
Yeah, I think his brand might be pretty damaged by like last year, which is kind of a shame because he just burned himself out playing a billion minutes in the first half of the season when they just didn't have anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can still be good, but I think there's, you know, he's got to be under 20 minutes a game probably. So it does get a little bit rough playing him. If you're a taxpayer mid-level team, you're probably looking for guys who can play in the playoffs. It just gets pretty rough for him. Let's finish up here with Detroit and Jeremy Grant. Because makes $21 million this year, eligible. This is probably the most discussed extension number in NBA history, given how often he's been on the trade block, but he could get $112.7 million over 4 years going forward.
I would not pay him that. I don't think he's that good. Personally. And you're getting into years where he'd probably be on the downslope, but
So this would be his age start. This extension would start in his age 29 season.
But there's a pretty heavy sunk cost theory to this, that if you're going through the trouble of trading for him and giving up assets, if you're, you know, let's say Atlanta or Portland, like, you can't have him leave after a year either. So that's where it gets really tricky. I mean, can you extend him for less than that number? You know, are they... Because I don't think he gets this number as a free agent, but you may have to write it out to free agency in order for him to see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. If you're going to give up something substantial for him and then you immediately get contentious about the extension, you don't agree, and then you get into free agency and then maybe you could sign and trade offers. I agree with you. I don't see the team with $20 million in cap space for next year that's like, oh, it's spend it on 29-year-old Jeremy Grant necessarily. But of course, see, Grant, though, he's done it before. He's just left for a shitty team. Like most of these guys.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, it's like, oh yeah, really? You're gonna go to whatever bad team it is? And now, does the shitty team want to actually pay him? But then the shitty team is probably like, oh yeah, hey, we could just sign him. We'll trade him again.
Right? Yeah.
Just do the exact same cycle that happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so I do agree. I don't really want to pay him well over $25 million a year and pay him $31 million in his age 32 season. That doesn't particularly appeal to me.
No, man.
But yeah, and it's also... Are any of these teams getting him? Or like you, like, I mean, maybe Phoenix would be the only one if he were involved in the 8 deal.
Yeah.
I mean, now the other thing you would say for Phoenix is, hey, we've got all of our picks going forward. Why don't we just trade salary flotsam for him and not give up 8? That and just add him to our group. That's what you would do if you weren't trying to avoid the tax. Right? Like, could you move Shamet, Šarić?
Craig.
Shamet actually would help the Pistons, by the way. Shamet and Šarić and 2 first-round picks for Grant.
Yeah, but you need Šarić because he's going to be your starting 5 next year.
God, that Aiden thing. That's going to be crazy, whatever happens there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, this is so crazy that we couldn't even get to the second half of our podcast. Maybe we'll just talk about it on Spotify Live here, some of our other most interesting free agents of the season. And next week, we got to talk draft. So actually, I don't know if draft will make it through the entire pod next week, so maybe we'll just save that for next week to talk about some of our more interesting free agents in addition to the draft. I'm finally getting through the film work. Through the top 4 now, John. So I've deliberately not read any of your stuff. So we'll have a good discussion next week.
Which is weird, because usually you don't have to be that deliberate about it. Usually you just don't read my stuff just in the regular course of your day.
That's you always make that joke. I know it's just self-deprecating and it's funny, but again, as someone who was reading alleyoop.com in 2002,
wow,
I do take a little
wow, a 20 year reader. Wow.
Yeah, that's impressive. I remember I Googled it. I was living in Hilton Head, South Carolina, working as a waiter the summer and getting ready to take the LSAT after college. And I was bored out of my mind. So I was like, all right. And I loved Baseball Prospectus. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to just, I don't know if it was even Google. It might have been like Alta Vista or like Yahoo search engine or something at that point. And I was like, I'm going to just look up, see if I can find something that's like similar for basketball, because I like basketball even better than baseball in terms of like advanced stat. And I think that's how I ended up finding it. We can dispense with the trip down memory lane here.
Your MySpace page was the shit though, right?
No, MySpace didn't even exist in 2002.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Friendster started in early 2003.
Wow.
That was the big time. Yeah. No, 2002. Yeah. Facebook was 2003. Like early 2004 is when like people actually started getting Facebook pages. All right. Now this is really a trip back.
Yeah. All right, it's all a blur to me, man.
All right, we will talk to you all next week. Till then.